Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at the book Saints, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. It's a history book, which is not quite as in-depth as the documentary history of the church, which has been used for decades, but it is a bit more transparent at times, although there certainly is a lot of information they could have included, but it's already a thick book. But we're talking now about the polygamy era during the time of Nauvoo, Illinois, the settlement of Commerce, Illinois, that later had a name change to Nauvoo. We talked about yesterday the fact that Joseph Smith was sealed in marriage to two sisters, Emily and Eliza Partridge. And the book then throws in on page 485 how Brigham Young and his wife Mary Ann had come to know through prayer and inspiration that they should practice plural marriage. And with Mary Ann's consent, Brigham had been sealed to a woman named Lucy Ann Decker in June 1842, a year after Joseph had first taught him the principle. Now, the principle is code word for plural marriage. Fundamentalist groups still use that word today. But the next sentence says that Lucy, this speaking of Lucy Decker, had separated from her husband and had young children to care for. Now, when I read the word separated, Eric, I didn't understand it to mean divorced. Why would they use the word separated in this book if she was in fact divorced? So you and I did some looking into that. And though oftentimes they describe Brigham's relationship with Lucy as she was divorced and then married Brigham Young, we can't find a date where she was officially divorced, at least not before she ends up becoming Brigham Young's wife.
Yeah, we looked on a lot of different places. We did find that in 1841 that Lucy had her third child with William Seeley, and that third child died. And so in 1841, well, here it is in June of 1842, she's getting married. I think you're right. The word separated must infer the fact that there was no divorce. And we found in some internet information that perhaps that Lucy thought her husband had died. But if he had died, you would want a death certificate. He actually lives for another decade after this.
Yeah, you would think you would want proof that he died in order to marry again. And this goes along with what I was saying yesterday. This idea of plural marriage, this principle, is supposed to be a commandment from God. But yet, folks, look at how many sins must be committed in order to cover up or even practice this principle. You have in this case where Lucy ends up marrying Brigham Young before she's officially divorced from her husband. You have Joseph Smith remaining silent when even his own brother and his wife are hearing rumors about plural marriage and denying that his brother or her husband was actually involved in this practice. Smith doesn't seem to want to correct them and let them know what is actually happening. So you cannot separate lying, prevarication, from the practice of polygamy when it was coming out during the Nauvoo period. You just cannot do that. And to walk away from this thinking that Joseph Smith handled this subject in a virtuous manner, I think if you're doing that, you're probably self-deluded, unfortunately.
Bill, yesterday you talked about the organization of the Relief Society that was done on March 17th, 1842. Now, that was with his wife as the head of this, but why do you think that the Relief Society was formulated by the Smiths?
Well, I think people are going to say, well, you're just prejudiced, Bill, because you don't like Joseph Smith or his behavior. But Mormons would argue, well, it was a woman's auxiliary. It was the place where women met to do the things that women would do in the church at that particular time. But I think there could have been easily an ulterior motive on the part of Joseph Smith. He's got all these women pooled in one area. He puts his wife as the head of it. And when we read that incident where Emma was telling those in the Relief Society that they needed to quench all these wicked rumors about her husband. She's talking to some of the women who are the reason for those rumors, and they're not saying a word to her. Does a virtuous husband put his wife in a situation where she looks foolish?
Well, would a virtuous woman be allowing another man to marry her knowing that that man has a wife and then not tell that wife even when she obviously doesn't know about it? It seems cruel to me.
Well, not only would these kind of marital arrangements, quote unquote, be offensive to many of us Christians in the 21st century, can you imagine how offensive it had to have been to many of the people in the 19th century during the Victorian era? Certainly, they must have been appalled by some of these rumors. And they were. Many were appalled by this, as are many modern Latter-day Saints when they start reading about this history. So this is one of those areas, Eric, where I give kudos to the LDS Church for being pretty candid about Joseph Smith's behavior. I don't know if they think being as honest as they are about this is going to help a lot of, let's say, Latter-day Saint women who were troubled by the concept of polygamy in the first place. I don't know if it's going to help them. If it was me, I would think it would only make my disgust increase for Joseph Smith.
Bill, let me keep reading on page 489 because we're going to get into the Partridge Sisters here, and I think this is fascinating what the book admits to. It says, 2 months after her sealing to Joseph, Emily Partridge still worked every day in the Smith home, washing and mending clothes and tending the children.
Now, let's remember here, 2 months after her sealing to Joseph, on page 483, it says that Emily was sealed to Joseph Smith on March 4th, 1843.
And not only that, but she hasn't told Emma. So she's working in their home knowing that she's married to Joseph Smith. The book goes on and says, in choosing to be sealed to Joseph, Emily trusted in her witness that she was acting in obedience to the Lord's commandment. She and her sister Eliza continued to keep their marriages private. They and the others who practiced plural marriage never referred to it as polygamy, which they considered a worldly term, not a priesthood ordinance. When Joseph or someone else condemned quote-unquote polygamy or quote-unquote spiritual wifery in public, those who practiced plural marriage understood that they were not referring to their covenant relationships.
Isn't that amazing? What a case of equivocation. You use the word polygamy. Joseph Smith condemns polygamy. You know that you're married polygamously to Joseph Smith, but yet you tell yourself, well, that's not talking about me. That's not what I believe. That's not what I'm doing, even though it most certainly is what you're doing. And yet you don't see the connection here. The book goes on to say on page 490, because neither Joseph nor Emma wrote down how they felt about plural marriage, many questions are left unanswered. Now, that's the second time this book makes a comment like that. The first time it mentions a comment like that, it goes on to say, but there's plenty written by other people that tends to give us an idea of what they were thinking and how they felt about plural marriage. We know, for instance, that Emma, Joseph Smith's wife, hated polygamy. She despised polygamy. She lied about it later on in her life. But the fact is, I don't even know why this sentence has to be repeated in here, because they already basically answered that question a few pages earlier. But it says in her writings, Emily, this is Emily Partridge, recorded some of their struggles with the practice. At times, Emma rejected it completely, while at other times reluctantly accepting it as a commandment. Torn between the Lord's mandate to practice plural marriage and Emma's opposition, Joseph sometimes chose to marry women without Emma's knowledge, creating distressing situations for everyone involved.
No duh.
Yeah. If you're a Latter-day Saint woman listening to us right now, put yourself in Emma's shoes. How would you feel if your husband was secretly marrying women behind your back, not telling you, and then you're hearing rumors about it? How would you feel about that? Would you, when you finally come to find out that there's some credence to these rumors, would you see your husband as being a virtuous man? Probably not.
Let me give you a quote from Joseph Smith in the History of the Church, Volume 6, page 46, and has been quoted in several different correlated church publications. He said, "I have constantly said, no man shall have but one wife at a time, unless the Lord directs otherwise. Just one of a number of quotes where Joseph Smith denies that. You might think, well, maybe that was from 1830, 1831, 1832, before he met Fanny Alger. No, that was October 5th, 1843, in the same time period. As late as 1843, we have a quote here where he says that he is not practicing polygamy and he doesn't believe in it.
Well, you just jumped to October of 1843. Let's go back a few months and look at what it says on page 490 in the book Saints, where it talks about Emma lecturing Emily and Eliza on this subject.
It says, in early May, Emma took Emily and Eliza aside and explained the principle of plural marriage to them.
Now think about this. These girls have already been sealed to Joseph Smith as plural wives to him. Emma doesn't know this. So even though it's about a month and a half after, at least a month and a half after they were already sealed to Joseph Smith, Emma is going to lecture Emily and Eliza on the principle of plural marriage, as if they didn't already know about this. Of course they already knew about it, but Emma doesn't know this because her husband doesn't feel it is safe to tell her about it because he knows how she's going to react.
What's interesting about that, somebody might say, well, maybe it was just a platonic relationship that Joseph had with these two sisters. Emily said that they definitely had sex after the marriage, the marriage that took place just a month and a half before. And so this is disconcerting, I think, for any person who thinks that Joseph is virtuous, allowing his wife not to know and having these two girls have to be quiet about it. Can you imagine the embarrassment they must have felt getting lectured about something they knew everything about?
Well, that same paragraph goes on to talk about how Emma is going to acquiesce to this, but there was a condition. It says, as long as she could choose the plural wives. And she had chosen Emily and Eliza, apparently unaware that Joseph had already been sealed to them. But then what does it go on to say, Eric?
Rather than mention her former sealing, Emily believed that keeping silent on the matter was the best thing for her to do. A few days later, she and Eliza were again sealed to Joseph, this time with Emma as a witness.
And Joseph Smith doesn't tell his wife. Emma doesn't know about this. Again, her husband does not explain this and is quiet regarding this wedding ceremony that was really not necessary even within the context of Mormonism as it was being taught by Joseph Smith. Despite the fact that he had already been married to these two girls, he decides to go through that ceremony again in order to appease Emma.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.